Our friends at Patriot Mobile, they just look, Patriot Mobile wants to make your life easier. They want to bring you amazing cell phone service, number one. Number two, they want to save you money. Number three, they want to make sure that your money doesn't work against you. So for, they've been doing this for over a decade, the only Christian conservative wireless provider in America. So right now they have a Black Friday promotion. You can get a free smartphone with code Friday76. It's Friday76. Just think 1776. Okay, Friday76. Make the switch today. This is for a limited time only, though. I mean, this is a great company that works on behalf of you, works for you, serves you, and I'm proud to partner with them. I mean, it's just the best cell phone service that's out there. They have dependable coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service. When you switch, you're saving money. You're working with an entirely 100% U.S.-based team, so you're creating and maintaining U.S.-based jobs. And again, don't forget that Black Friday promotion, free smartphone with code Friday76. So make the switch today. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Friday76. Get your free smartphone. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana. Call 972-PATRIOT, code Friday76 for details.
We made progress, but we have more work to do. Let me be clear. To any corporation that's not brought their prices back down, even as inflation has come down, even as supply chains have been rebuilt, it's time to stop the price gouging and give the American consumer a break.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, so I was like a little kid in the 80s, and I know that things like really sucked in certain parts of the world, particularly before the Berlin Wall fell. And I'm just saying, like, that's probably something that would have been said in those countries at that time. That probably is something that would have sounded familiar to some people. You know, the whole government control everything and price control. And then, of course, you're coming out of the Carter era. I'm just saying that is some freaky deaky stuff that we just heard from Biden. And it's the crazy thing is that he's trying to cover his backside. I mean, yes, he's a statist, but he's also trying to cover his backside. And none of this is working. I am literally made of opinions today on this and a million other things. First off, welcome to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon here with you, Dana Loesch. Kind of a crazy day. And we've got a lot of stuff to go over related not just domestic issues, economy, oh my gosh, real estate, a million things, education, you know, the state of everything with social justice and all that other stuff here. Then we're going to get into the latest with Israel and then and Hamas and the hostages and how Hamas is now purposefully splitting up the families so that the kids that are released, they have to leave a mom or dad in custody. They're monsters. So we're going to get into all of that and the continued push from this administration. And I got some 2024 Democrat stuff to kind of theorize on. So a lot of stuff to hit today. It's a busy day and we're going to hit all of it. But first up, I knew the moment that I heard this soundbite yesterday, I was like, well, there's the start of the show. That was the first thing I thought of when I heard this yesterday. And his remarks came later, you know, after we were off air. And my first thought was, well, all right, this is how we're starting the show today, because here we have, again, people who don't understand how the economy works. So he's trying to, with this, they're trying to save him. He's trying to save himself on the economy, because the fact that he had to say this clearly shows you that Bidenomics is not working. Right? I mean, because he said, well, I guess it's the companies that are doing it, guys. Reason everything's so expensive is the companies that are doing it. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just, woof. The companies that are doing it. It's not because of inflation. It's not because of anything like that. It couldn't be because of my economic policies. It couldn't be because of any of those things. It's because those companies. That's what it was. I mean, this is one of the dumbest things I think I've heard a modern day president say. And when I remember, again, when I was looking at this and I was seeing some of the reaction, of course, I think it got buried now after it went, because it was on the Hill at first, after it went viral. But some of the comments, people were like, yeah, that's right. It's the companies, those evil companies that are doing all this. Dude, Are you okay? I broke Kane. We already broke him. It's only 9 minutes into the broadcast and we broke him already.
It hurts to know that people like that exist.
And did you read some of the comments under that video?
Yes, I did.
My brain broke.
Yes.
I died and I came back to life only to be killed again. This is so bad. They're saying that inflation doesn't, you know, people think that inflation makes costs rise. Not necessarily. You can still have inflation and costs go down. I swear to you, that was a comment. I swear to you, hands to sky. Dude, we have an economic illiteracy in this show. Or not in this show, in this nation, sorry. In the country. The show is here to fix it. We have an economic illiteracy in the country. We're trying to fix it on the show. We're trying to help. We're trying to do our part. There are people who actually apparently don't understand the relationship between economic policy and then what that does to the market and how it affects people. I mean, you've had the overall prices, food's gone up over 20%. And generally, I know that some things have increased more than others, but food has gone up over 20%. Electricity skyrocketed, a 25% increase. I mean, this is all coming from, these are all government statistics, by the way. I mean, they make these things publicly available. But for him to say this, when he's like, well, inflation, you know, inflation has come down and the supply chains have been rebuilt. So it's the companies that are price gouging. That's not how that works. I mean, that is not how any of that works. And we're talking about the rate of increase, and the increase is still in existence. And it's because the price of goods, even the goods, I mean, you got to explain this like to Biden. You got to explain it baby talk, right? So when you're making a product, you have to acquire goods to make the product, correct? And the product that a manufacturer is making, that they have to get the ingredients, let's put it like that, to make that product. And the ingredients that they have to get to make that product come from another company, and their business is the ingredients that make a specific product. And guess what? Costs are up for them because costs are up for everything. Costs are up for energy. Costs are up for gas and oil and all of this other stuff. All of this combines and goes into it. He literally has no idea what he's talking about. I mean, this is terrifying. You can tell the man's never taken an Econ 101 class. These are the people who are making decisions in your government. They have no idea what's happening. I mean, it's appalling. It is absolutely appalling. Now, we're coming back to this because, good golly, I have tons more on it. In addition, I just want to touch on the Bidens again. So what's the thing whenever they unveil, right, the White House Christmas decorations? And sidebar, I know some of you out there who are Republicans and who liked Trump, hated Melania Trump's Christmas decorations. I will fight you all day long. It was goth as all get out. I loved it. Those were the best Christmas decorations. I'm not going to hear it from nobody. They're like, well, it's great. I don't know what I think about it. You know what? They were cool. And they weren't this hokey stuff that they put up in the White House. Okay, right now, I digress. So they unveiled, you know how they have this big mantle in the White House? It's like in one of these reception areas. And what is it, for two Christmases, the past two Christmases, they put up stockings for all of the Biden grandchildren. And so it's the theme, and the mantle reflects that. The theme of the White House decorations is like the magic and wonder of Christmas, something stupid. And they had all this stuff on the mantle as well, but missing from the mantle were those stockings. Because they hung up six stockings. They have seven, but they have seven grandkids, but they only hung up six stockings. They had one stocking for each grandkid, except for five-year-old Lil Navy. That is Hunter Biden's daughter with that chick, London Roberts. And so the White House was asked about it because they were ratioed online when they posted a picture, when a picture came out of the mantle. And they got dragged for it. And then they ended up taking them down. It was so bad. And so they didn't even put any up this year. They would rather not put up any stockings of their grandkids than put up a stocking that has Lil Navy Jones' name on it. These are, screw you people. That is so evil. That is so lame. You're a grandparent and you can't accept your son's daughter that he had out of wedlock with a dalliance, this London Roberts lady, who seems like she's doing a good job of raising her. And I think she had to say a bunch of nice stuff to the press in order to settle with Hunter, by the way, but that's another point. But she had to drag that 50-something-year-old POS to court repeatedly to get him to pay child support and to get him to do his due diligence to the life that he helped create. And Joe and Jill can't even be prevailed upon to acknowledge her in the form of a stocking at Christmas. What does it cost them to have this little girl's name on a stocking and represented with all the other grandkids at Christmas? I think for a woman to not acknowledge a grandchild, you are cold hearted and I can't say it on air. And for the man to not do it, I mean, Joe Biden, I'm good grief. That's just despicable. That's not a family man. That's not an alpha man. That's not a patriarch. You're excusing your son, and then you're refusing to acknowledge the life that he helped create. I don't care what party affiliation you are. I have zero respect for people who do that. None. They are the lowest of the low, the scum of the earth for doing that. I mean, I call them white trash in the White House. I'm going to tell you what. I got some white trash kin, and they acknowledge everybody. The people in the White House, they don't. It's disgusting to me. I had to get that off my chest because we're not going to push through anymore in this show. I mean, how lame is it? What does it cost you to put the grandkid's name on a stocking? How much does that tell you about this family? They can't even do that much. So they don't have any stockings this year. They'd rather not have any of them. They'd rather not have any of them. No stockings at all. Now, what gets me? So they were asked about this. They were said, okay, so, you're not going to have any stockings this year? The spokesperson said, quote, the family will be spending Christmas at Camp David and their family stockings will be there. Mm-hmm. That's right. Whether you can't see them and take pictures and ratio them on social media, they're going to be there. The stockings. I wish the reporter would have followed up with, well, why aren't they on the mantle this year? Because they were for two previous years. Is it because they got dragged? Because they won't put Navy Jones' name up there? Again, what is stopping them? I can't understand this. Do you any speculation? Can't you have any? I cannot understand this at all. None.
I want to know if little Navy is going to be on that mantle.
Oh, dude, you know she's not. They'd take a photo of it. They'd virtue signal off it so hardcore. That's so lame. So they just don't have any. They just don't have any. They don't have her not up on that mantle. They don't have anything up at all. That's so dumb. But that's says everything that you need to know. That's all it is. So they got the Christmas. They have statues of the family's first pets that are terrifying looking, as you know, pet statues typically are. Otherwise, you know, it's Christmas decorations. I mean, I just don't know why the media's not losing their mind on them. I mean, they have like a candy room and all this stuff. I don't know. It just looks basic. It just looks like basic stuff. Where I thought that Melania Trump's went, I thought hers was edgy and cool looking. But, you know, what do I know? I guess I just don't know me no Christmas decorations. We gotta move on because there's other stuff I want to touch on. Coming up, a number of things. Did you guys hear the story of what Deadspin did? I'm going to have to come up with like a really ridiculous, goofy story to bring you back from the ledge once I share this story with you. So Deadspin, which is a garbage website, it's a repository of all things stupid. There's a dude who was over there who wrote this editorial where he went after this little kid who was, you know, he's a super fan. The kid's a super fan, right? So he's all decked out supporting the Kansas City Chiefs. And the dude dragged him saying that he was a racist and all this stuff. I don't even think the kid's 10. Not kidding you. We're going to talk about it. Wanted to incite a rage mob around this kid. And then he was proven wrong in his accusation. So we're going to talk about this because I guess nobody learned from the Nick Sandman case. I guess they never learned from it at all. Looking for a proactive solution in a battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code DANA10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code DANA10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code DANA10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Even if you got a raise last year, you're still going backwards. Prices have come down, but they are not lower than they were last year. If you hear that violent crime is down 6%, it's still 25% higher than it was in 2019. Don't get hit by the spin zone. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Texas Governor Greg Abbott, apparently not satisfied with the drama that is an election, elections and running, you know, the Republic of Texas and the border, decided, you know what, I'm going to also go skydiving on top of it. He legit, but it was cool. He went with a World War II veteran. He went skydiving with a World War II veteran. He went near San Marcos. He went with Al Blaschke, a 106-year-old World War II veteran, who's got probably more years of experience as a skydiver than you have living on Earth. And he first completed the feat. He broke a world record for becoming the oldest person to do a tandem parachute jump. And that was, I think, in 2017 he did that? So super awesome. Now, this was the governor's first skydiving experience. So he's been through it all now. Let's see. This is interesting. They say apocalyptic fears for the end of the world have sparked a perfect hotbed for global rise in exorcisms, is what they say. They say the number of performed exorcisms is that a thing that, like, I mean, I know they make movies about it, but is there like the office of, you know, running out the devil in the Catholic, in the Catholic Church? Because it's like, I don't think they talk about it, but you got all these priests that, like, apparently, where you got Russell Crowe just did a movie about a guy who was famous for it, right? Is there like an official office, like a department of running out the devil in the church, you know, and this is the undersecretary of running out the devil? I think it's because things are stressful and people are freaking out, I think is part of it. And also evil's real. Let's see here. 60% of Americans say, yes, the money can buy happiness and the price tag is $1.2 million. You think that until you don't have your health. People think that. They think that money will solve everything, but you know what? Money cannot buy you health. It can buy healthy habits and like healthy food and things like that, but it can't buy you health. So people believe actually the magic number is 1.2 million to buy happiness. That's kind of sad, right? I mean, count your blessings, the existing blessings that you have. We got a whole bunch of stuff coming up. Don't miss. Take yourself to a place of relaxation and skincare. Here's the thing. I got just hopping mad when I saw dudes out there selling skincare products to women, because women have different skincare needs than dudes do. I really feel like we shouldn't have to explain this, but here we are. It's 2023. Nimi Skincare understands that. So they wanted to make it crystal clear. Ladies, y'all got needs at different decades, different times of your life, and they have stuff for you. It's conservative owned. Everything's made right here in the USA. In the US of A, there's no animal testing. They don't use parabens, none of that stuff. Oh, I've looked at them. I was like, I'm going to look you up and I want to experiment with you before I ever agree to say your name on air. And I really like this skin company because they are who they say they are. They have this Hydrate and Protect Ultimate routine. So it includes their popular anti-aging products. It cleanses, moisturizes, protects the skin. I deal with eczema, so I got to be really careful about what I use. And this is one of the things that I have not reacted to. And it's incredibly hydrating, especially if you live in drier climates like Texas, where it's bitterly cold already. It's already 40 degrees and super cold and dry, but it has all kinds of good stuff in it. But here's the thing. They also understand women's needs are different. They're not going to use a dude to sell you lady products, right? So make sure you check out Nimi Skincare products. 100% guaranteed. They ship right to your door, and you're not compromising your values to have great skin. Visit NimiSkincare.com, N-I-M-I, and use promo code Dana for 10% off. Your skin will thank you.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
You know, we're going to set up follow-up calls with every governor we met with to make sure we're available. I think it was President Reagan said, we're from the government. We're here to help. There's There are resources there.
That's
there's technical
not how
assistance
that quote
there.
Goes.
There's a playbook.
That's not how that. Now he is the education secretary. So that's Miguel Cardona. He is the education secretary, and he's not getting this right.
The lack of what secretary?
Education.
Got it.
Yeah. So let's hear the correct quote, because he's quoting Reagan. Audio soundbite two, please.
I think you all know that I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Hmm. That's the correct quotation for that. And it's just kind of amazing that he got it. It's not amazing. It's Miguel Cardona. It's just kind of crazy that he got it as wrong as he does. Like, what does it sound? Someone says, as the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I mean, there's a ton of different ways that we could. I mean, there's a lot of things that we could have fun with. But that's so bad. That's so bad that he. Miguel Cardona, guys, the education secretary. But isn't that kind of fitting? That's such a fitting thing to do. I mean, you know, as he said, we're from the government. We're here to help. Yeah, that's you omitted the terrifying part of it. So welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast, and you can also stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast. On YouTube, Facebook, and Channel 347 DirecTV. So about the YouTube thing, just a quick note, because everybody's been asking me about this. Okay, so in order to, how is it, Kane, in order to have monetization on YouTube, you have to enable them to randomly run ads in the middle of your simulcast without any regard for when you actually go to break.
Right, but it's even worse than that, because they give you the impression that you can control that.
they give you the impression that you can control a lot of stuff with YouTube, and that's not necessarily.
You go into settings, and there's all kinds of things you can do, quote unquote.
It's like pressing the elevator button, the door close button. Doesn't work.
And so we've implemented all the things that should make those ads pop when we're naturally already in a commercial break, so that it works for everybody. And for some reason, YouTube, although giving us the impression that we're able to do that, it's not executing that way.
Yeah, no. And isn't it also related to when a person joins and starts watching too?
That is part of the information that YouTube gives us. So, but the choice that we made on the mid-rolls shouldn't have changed that. Like the fact whenever someone tunes in shouldn't have changed that. But again, you just can't believe what's in the settings and the explanations that YouTube has.
But if you say anything about anything that rhymes with Schmivermectin,
ooh,
then they'll demonetize you while still monetizing you and not giving you any options.
Or Schmaxine.
Schmaxine, yeah, you can't. Vaccine, you can't talk about that.
Damn.
I mean, you know, it'd be horrible if their headquarters were hit with an asteroid. It'd be an act of God. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm wishing for it. I'm just saying it would be horrible. I'm lamenting that would be so bad.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? That's sad.
Oh, that's
look at him, I'm almost crying. Okay, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it is.
I couldn't, yeah. This it's like getting water from a rock. Not going to happen. All right, so the I told you about this. Did I tell you about this Deadspin thing? Oh, I mentioned I was going to talk about it. This is actually a wild story. So this has to do with this kid. I was looking for his age in my notes. And it's sad. This guy blocked me. The guy who wrote this piece. I don't have Twitter pulled up for some reason. Is that good or bad? The guy who wrote this piece, right? He immediately blocked me. I'm not making this up. So let's start with this. His name is Karen. His name is Karen.
Wow.
Karen Phillips. That's his actual name. Not making it up. So this dude, right? This Karen dude. He writes this story where he goes after this kid. Here's the headline. The headline, and it got community noted and ratioed 6 ways to Sunday. And I was on a tear about this last night. Deadspin tweeted, the NFL needs to speak out against the Kansas City Chiefs fan in blackface and a native headdress. And it's literally a little kid. Now, here's what they did that was incredibly disingenuous. He had his face painted Chiefs colors. And they did community note it. They showed that his face was painted black and red. He's in the Chiefs jersey and he has the headdress on. This kid, I mean, this kid's like what? Maybe he looks like he's 8 or 9.
Yeah, 10 years old.
Yeah, he's a little kid. And Karen Phillips, who is a big giant coward, when everybody went at him, he started blocking them like crazy. He's wearing face paint that matches the team's colors. He's a super fan. And because I know race is incredibly important to the left, he's an adult black male who's going after a young white male. And that's very important to the left. They have to know before they can demonstrate any kind of caring about anything. They have to know. So they don't care because it involves a young white male. But his name's Karen. I just can't. It's the most I've never met. I've never seen a male who's been so appropriately named in my life, in my ever loving life. So he goes after this kid and he's like and the way that the headline is written, it almost he's just like, oh, it's a Kansas City Chiefs fan. The first thing that comes to your mind is that, oh, there's an adult guy out there, an adult who did something horrible, right? That's the first thing. If you don't see the photo, if you don't see any other context, the first seed in your mind is that, oh, this is probably this an adult. Then when you see the photo, they specifically only showed one side of the kid's face in the photo. They ran with the photos on Deadspin, and they didn't include any other photos of the kid. His face is half red, half black. He's painted in he's painted in his team's colors. And they presented it as he was in blackface. How is that not defamation? How in the world is that not defamation? This is how he started the article. You're going to need to grab on something. You're going to need to hold on something. Here's how Karen started the article. Quote, "It takes a lot of disrespect, a lot to disrespect two groups of people at once. But on Sunday afternoon in Las Vegas, a Kansas City Chiefs fan found a way to hate black people and Native Americans at the same time." This is what this adult male wrote about this little kid. He accused the kid of being in blackface. Literally, he says the image of a Chiefs fan in blackface wearing a Native headdress leads to so many unanswered questions. Is that fan a kid or a young adult? Are you blind? You absolute. Oh my gosh. The Holy Spirit put a hand over my mouth. Oh my gosh. Ooh. Ooh. Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? This is so stupid. This is so dumb. This is what this male, this racist dude, this racist bigot, Karen Phillips, who's a cowardly racist Karen, totally appropriately named, wrote about this little kid. Kid's in, his face is half red, half black. He's in his team's colors. And, you know, can we stop with this whole, I cannot stand the ignorant progressive appropriation and projection on all things American Indian. I'm so done with it. They have no idea about American Indian history. Like, they don't even understand the history behind Redskin. They probably think all American Indians lived in teepees. They have no clue. They have no clue about different nations. They have no clue about different cultural practices between the nations. They have no idea about different boundaries, different areas, or anything about any nation's history. To them, all American Indians are alike. They're all Indians. They're all the same. They all do the same stuff. They wear the same things. They all make rugs. They all have beads. They all do the same thing. That's what progressives think. That's why they react the way that they do when they see stuff. They also don't understand mascots, apparently. You know, you don't make a mascot of a team after something that you denigrate. You don't make the mascot something that's supposed to inspire courage and resiliency and motivation to go out there and win and be inspirational, be something to which you want to aspire, something which you want to pattern yourself after for victory. You don't select something that you denigrate as your mascot. So they don't understand American Indians because they're all a bunch of racist jackwagons, and they also don't understand sports mascots. But this is what progressives do. So they sit here and they think, oh, red skin, it must mean they think their skin is red. Wow, racist much? The Warriors painted themselves. Are you kidding me? How ignorant do you have to be in the era of information to run with this stuff? You get the dumbest progressives out there, and they are the ones who are actually demonstrating racism. Oh, I have no idea that the Warriors would paint themselves colors. This must be a slur. We've got to ban it. This has nothing to do, by the way, with progressives in any way caring about American Indians. If progressives cared about American Indians, maybe they would have made it easier because historically their party's been the one in the way of allowing American Indians to actually own their own land on reservations. Or maybe they would have done more when they dumped a butt ton of toxic chemicals in a river in Colorado, poisoning tons and tons and tons of livestock owned by American Indians and refusing to take ownership of that error. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they would have taken, you know, acknowledged their culpability in that and try to rectify the situation. Maybe they wouldn't have relocated people forcibly on the trail of genocide. You know, the founder of the modern day Democrat Party excuse it and act like it never happened under their own party and act like they still don't practice it now by denying people the ability and right to own their own land on government property. But I digress. So spare me your troll fake concern about American Indians. The only time that people want to pretend that they care about American Indians, or if they see that one old Rage Against the Machine video, or if something comes up in the news and then all of a sudden they want to act like they're concerned with different nation's issues. They don't even understand the hierarchy. They don't even understand how any of it works because they're appropriators. White progressives are colonizers. Throughout history, they've been the colonizers. They want to colonize and eradicate all different bits of history that make every person unique and fascinating. It's disgusting. I'm tired of seeing it. Like they don't even they didn't even want the word chiefs. They think chiefs is a slur. They think everything. They don't understand it at all. But they appropriate and then they project their bigotry into the situation because they're the ones that you know why they see everything in bigoted terms? Because they're bigots. This is the ideology that fought against women voting. This is the ideology that fought to keep people of a different color enslaved. This is the ideology that forced to relocate people on the trail of genocide. That is the ideology that has always promoted that. They have always been on the wrong side of history going back to the beginning of time. And it hasn't changed. You just get new faces, new names, some new voices, but they repeat the same stupid, bigoted ignorance. So Karen goes after this insane, on this insane rant, and he goes after this kid. And then he has to lock his replies and privatize his accounts. Because he started getting dragged for going after a kid. Now, thankfully, Community Notes absolutely corrected the situation and said, no, the kid is literally demonstrating his team's colors. Think about this for a minute. You know why? I'm going to tell you, I understand why people live digitally now. I understand why kids today don't want to go out in the real world. Because they hate people like Karen Phillips. There's a Karen Phillips somewhere out there ready to ruin your life because it's going to advance them professionally. Because there is a Karen Phillips out there who wants to look like his soul is more improved than yours because he's calling you out for your transgressions and he himself has none. There is always a Karen Phillips out there waiting to prey on someone and to make an example of them for their own advantage. No wonder the youth of today don't want to go out and date. No wonder they don't want to go out in the workplace and go out and do things that we did when we were younger. I get why they want to live digitally. Because you got to deal with these jackwagons publicly. And who wants that? We got a lot more on the way. Find it disgusting. God help me if I found out this man blocked, like privatized his account and then thought he was going to put my name in his mouth. God help me. Our partners over at Wise Foods, they want to make sure that you're prepared for anything. And you never, like if there's an emergency that heaven forbid happens, that you don't want to have to worry about your next meal or where your next meal will come from. And that's where Wise Food Storage comes in. You can save $50 on your four-week survival food kit. You get free shipping. It's all at preparewithdana.com. Two-bucket, four-week survival food kit, 2,200 calories, plus 64 grams of protein per day, 28-day supply. Everything is made with high-quality U.S. ingredients. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, super easy to prepare, just add water, and it has a 25-year shelf life as well. Tons of different dishes. Order yours today at preparewithdana.com. Save $50 on your four-week survival food kit, plus free shipping. Visit preparewithdana.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I had an in-depth conversation with Stevie Wonder last night, who is...
I love Stevie Wonder.
Again, for the serious question, I had an in-depth conversation with Stevie Wonder last night, who is asking, requesting a meeting with the president.
She just wanted to be able to say
she's very concerned about the black agenda falling along the wayside.
Let's be real. April Ryan, who looks better with a wig? I mean, it looks nice on her. I'm not being ignorant. I'm saying something. Stop. I'm saying something nice. I'm being genuine. It'll go away in a minute. But all she wanted to do was be like, I talked to Stevie Wonder, everybody. Yes. For real. I'm really sure Stevie Wonder was like, April, let me tell you, I'm so concerned about the black agenda falling by the wayside. Can you please? Does that sound like something Stevie Wonder is going to say?
I'm superstitious.
Yeah. Are you super? I'm also superstitious, Kane. Very much so.
I mean, suspicious. That's what I meant.
She, that's why we played this song coming in, by the way, in case anyone needed notes. But she just wanted to name drop and be like, I talked to Stevie Wonder. To make that moment less dumb, all she would have had to do is just say, I talked to Stevie Wonder. I didn't have a question. I just wanted to say that. And then just sit down, shut up. You don't have to sit here and do this elaborate story. All right, we got a lot more to hit because it's Elizabeth Warren versus Big Samage. Come at the headrest safe. Now, you could be like me and I'll be like, one for me and one for you. That's how I do Christmas shopping. I don't know if you guys do that, but that's what I do. This is actually genius, the headrest save. And I'm kind of mad that I didn't come up with it or at least steal it before they had it trademarked and patented. But the headrest safe is a one-of-a-kind in-vehicle safe. In fact, they awarded it Concealed Carry Magazine's Editor Choice Award for best-in-class vehicle safe. Now, it's designed as a gun safe. I mean, you get secure solution. It's a secure solution for storing your firearm. You can access it in 2.5 seconds. It's got a magnetic access door, user-friendly biometric fingerprint reader. You got a hard keypad. You got a hard key. You got a keypad, all that. But it's really for anything. I mean, think about it. Like, I don't know how many people I know, myself included, you know, you go to college games or you go on a road trip or you go do this or that. And maybe you want to have like a secure place to keep your valuables, your medicine. Like if you're staying at Airbnb or even a hotel, I mean, this thing is not going anywhere with your headrest safe. It's on the passenger side, so it doesn't interfere with any kind of driver safety. It locks securely in place with a deployable toggle bolt. And I can put it in. If I can put it in, you can put it in. Probably faster than me, but you can put it in. It's absolutely undetectable and it's seamless. It blends with your car's interior because they can match over 80% of the materials, fabrics, etc., that are used in vehicles today. It's smart. It's useful. I highly recommend it. If you get one for yourself, get one as a Christmas gift, and they've discounted it. So you have the headrest safe bundle. That price has been reduced by $100. And with code Dana, you save an additional $50. So order your headrest safe, install it, enjoy peace of mind. You can see it for yourself at theheadrestsafe.com. Use code Dana to get that exclusive $50 off. That's theheadrestsafe.com, code Dana for $50 off, 100% money back guarantee.
But almost 3 years in office, inflation is up over 17% since President Biden came here.
Inflation is moderating because of the actions that this president has taken.
Prices are going up slower. They're still high.
It's going down. The prices are going down. If you look at I mean, I just talked about last week how turkey prices, cost for turkeys is going down. The cost for eggs is going down.
Let's do it.
Because of the actions that were taken. I just talked about supply chain and how that affects the economy. And that's because of the president's action that he's taken.
Mm-hmm. Now, turkeys are up. Cost of turkey, ladies and gentlemen, is super higher. It's actually, 16% higher than it was 17% higher than it was a year ago. Cost of turkey isn't going down. What turkeys are you getting? Because, I mean, if they're little and they cluck, that's not a turkey. That's a chicken. Welcome back to the show. Dana Loesch here with you. We are ridiculous today. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the show. You can watch the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV. If you want to know my mood, go to my Instagram page, and I got a video of Kermit dancing. That's it. It's insane. That puppeteer should have gotten an award. It's amazing. All right. So, no, what kind of turkey is she getting? I mean, you got, what, a 16-pound turkey is almost $30 for 16 pounds.
Is tofurkey cheaper?
What is tofurkey? You know what? If you don't want to eat meat, don't eat meat. But don't make paste and then be like, it's meat. It's not. You can shape it. And I have vegetarian friends. And so they're, you know, we all laugh at each other. It's fun. I don't need anybody getting all tight butt about this.
I'm just trying to figure out where that's they're coming from. That's not a real thing. Yeah. Where they're getting this data.
Tofurkey isn't real, just like Palestine. Anyway.
How they get the idea that prices have gone down. I'm trying, just trying to figure it out.
Do they know how to count?
I don't know.
And I agree with you. It's a mystery. Those people should never be allowed to handle the money in Monopoly. Speaking of Monopoly, gosh, Dana, can we just pause for a minute? I'm going to compliment myself on that epic segue that I just ruined by pointing it out. It's really good segue, Dana. Thank you. Speaking of Monopoly, out of everything that we have going on right now, and there's a lot happening, right? There's a lot going on. Elizabeth Warren has declared war on Big Samage. What? Oh, no, she has. Elizabeth Warren is upset. There's a Politico article that said that the feds are probing a $10 billion deal for a sandwich chain that would put Subway, Jimmy John's, and Arby's under the same roof. Full stop for a second. We got to stop and just have some clarity to what I just read to you. Do not put Arby's. Lion's Choice is better if you're from Missouri. We all know this, but not everyone has the blessing of growing up in Missouri with better roast beef. But Arby's and Jimmy John's and Subway, do not put them all in the same sentence, because Arby's, that's a hot sandwich. And just because you can get something toasted doesn't mean it's the same. So don't. There is nuance here. So there's a firm, Rourke Capital. They're based in Atlanta, and they focus on consumer chains with franchise models. So apparently they also have Dunkin', Buffalo Wild Wings, and Baskin Robbins. They said that they are purchasing these, and now they're being investigated for antitrust. And Elizabeth Warren tweeted this, quote, "We don't need another private equity deal that could lead to higher food prices for consumers. The FTC is right to investigate whether the purchase of Subway by the same firm that owns Jimmy John's and McAllister's Deli creates a sandwich shop monopoly." Big Sandwich is born. Who knew? Who knew? She wants to protect Americans from eating fresh. Elizabeth Warren has declared war on Big Samage. And very, very worthy cause came. Going after a Big Samage. Going after, yeah.
Number one complaint I hear about
I
all
mean,
the time.
I hear that it routinely pops up as the top concern for voters, Big Samage. We got to make sure that they're just not out there to make one giant sandwich for America. There's only so much bread.
That's all we've heard about how Big Sandwich takes advantage of you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we wouldn't have this problem with Big Sandwich if she just got in the kitchen and made one. Just saying. I just would like to offer that. I mean, if she just got in the kitchen and made a sandwich, we probably wouldn't have to deal with this. But I also think, do they know what the antitrust means? I mean, really, are we worried about bread and cold cuts? Really? We're worried. Only so many people can make cold cut sandwiches. I mean, how many sandwich shops are there? There's like a frillion.
Yeah.
You were asking me, Kane was asking me on break. He's like, so what was the question you asked me?
I was wondering which one you find as a better sandwich company, Jimmy John's or Jersey Mike's.
There's one out there that I don't like that uses a sweet bread, and I don't like it.
Sweet bread.
Yeah, but otherwise, I don't care. It's a sandwich. If you had a sandwich, then you had one sandwich, you had all the sandwiches.
But that's not exactly true.
That is wicked true.
You're painting with a broad brush.
Everybody
there,
gives you the same salt, the same as Vicky Chips. They give you, it's true. You're laughing because you know it's true. Same as Vicky's Chips. You get the same drinks, the same meats. You know, it's not like, you know, it's, no, it's different, man. It's all the same.
I personally do not like Subway at all, like in any way, shape, or form. But I do like Jimmy John's, and I also like Jersey Mike's. But I don't know which one I like better. And I was just wondering if you liked Jersey Mike's better than you liked Jimmy John's.
I haven't eaten Subway because, I don't know. Like, sandwiches isn't my favorite food, you know? It's like, sandwich is something that you eat when you don't got no time to do nothing else.
A whole decade in my 20s, sandwich was a food group for me.
Well, yeah, when you're younger, you know, when you get older and you have a kitchen, you know, a sandwich is something that you can make yourself at home. I'm that person. We got that at home.
Steve says we don't have a Wawa out here.
What is that?
A Wawa?
The Wawa. That's an actual, Steve, that is the name of it, right? That's not the nickname of it?
No, that's the actual.
It's like a gas station.
It's like a gas station, but they have a full source deli and they have the best hoagies.
It's like a Casey's or a Buc-ee's. Yeah, Buc-ee's. You get that Buc-ee's pecan roll.
Okay. I mean, there's less.
Squirrel turd. Let's be real.
It's not so much barbecue. It's more like deli meats, but they have like all types of cold and hot hoagies. It started up in the Northeast, but now they've gone.
They call their sandwiches hoagies. Yeah, I forgot. He's East Coast.
But they're in Florida now.
That's right. Hoagies?
And grinders.
Okay, what's the difference? I'm going to get lit up online. What is the difference between a sandwich and a hoagie? They're both sandwiches.
Well, what's the difference between a hoagie and a grinder?
That's a sandwich.
They're both sandwiches.
I just thought that was the lyric of an Adam Sandler song.
It is.
Hoagies and grinders. Hoagies. Sloppy Joe, which is a sandwich.
That's true.
If I had to pick a favorite sandwich, I'd say Sloppy Joe is my favorite sandwich.
Sloppy Joe's are legit.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
But we just turned into Shorzy now. But it's all, I mean, it's a sandwich. It's just on fancy bread, isn't it?
All right. Maybe we'll put a poll.
Hang on. You know what we're going to do right now? Because we're on a radio show. Indulge me for a moment, right? I had to sit here and deal with Elizabeth Warren and Big Sandwich. Difference between hoagie and a sandwich. I mean, it's the dumbest thing I've ever typed. A hoagie uses harder bread and is usually served cold, whereas a sub uses a softer one and can be served toasted or cold.
Oh,
and then it's basically a sandwich. It's the same damn sandwich.
The same thing.
It's the same sandwich.
Subtle.
I love how they're like, well, it's the difference. It's a sandwich. Come on. Sit here and act like it's what East Coast people call their sandwiches. That's what it is. I don't even know. Wait. Hang on. What is a grinder? I don't want to actually Google that.
So grinder is not the website. Definitely.
No, I'm not talking about. Where are you at?
Well, you're the one that said what?
So is a grinder like loose meat on it?
Oh God.
What makes a sandwich a grinder? They don't even know. It's the same stupid thing. It's the same stupid sandwich. It's all a sandwich.
It's got to be a different bread.
It's not. It's just they want to act like it's a different thing. You light me up online. I don't care. You send me hate mail. It's all the same thing. It's all a sandwich. It's all the same. It is too. It's all the same. But the best one is the Lion's Choice.
Oh, yeah.
Lorraine says a grinder is a hoagie that's been heated, but a hoagie is a sub. What?
What? A sub that hasn't
been heated? What in the Matrix is that?
But not soft bread.
So I'm going to squeeze you like soft bread. and it's all going to be more expensive because Bidenomics.
I mean, with most everything, I agree with you except the fact that there are differences between sandwiches.
No.
You think you have one sandwich, you've had them all. It's not the case.
And what makes this even better is the best sandwich, though, is a Lion's Choice.
Oh, yeah.
They don't advertise. That's just the best sandwiches.
It is.
They do one sandwich. It's
only
roast beef.
In Missouri.
It's only in Missouri. Yeah. You can only get it in Missouri. It's one sandwich. It's roast beef.
Oh, the best roast beef.
And don't they like basically butcher the cow and then cut it all up right there in the restaurant? I don't know.
They walk it up behind the building.
They do. They slap its butt, walk it by the walk it by the oven, and.
But it's perfectly medium rare, and it's delicious.
You've never had a roast beef sandwich until you've had a you haven't. You have not.
Don't have
I don't care.
Here.
Yeah,
I don't think
until
we
you've had
franchise
Lion's Choice
down here.
I don't know. I don't think they allow it to leave Missouri.
No.
They got to keep Missouri special. So they said Lion's Choice can't leave these boundaries.
To make a couple phone calls.
You can't go past Table Rock Lake. You can't go over the Mississippi. You can't. Got to stay here. Got to stay in Missouri. They won't let it leave. They'll probably send like the guard or something down. Anyway, the best. And their buns, the sesame seed buns. Oh my gosh. They're so good. Anyway, where are my sandwiches? I hate all the sandwiches except for that one. So Elizabeth Warren, she's worried about antitrust. That's the whole thing of that. I just wanted to make fun of Elizabeth Warren and Big Sandwich. She's
success.
High five to myself. Yay. Yay, Dana. All right. So a couple of other things. We're going to get into some of this stuff because I was watching. Apparently, Black Friday was great for firearm sales. Lots of people had some good deals. Yeah, it was very good for firearm
Black
sales.
Black Gun Friday.
That's what we're going to talk about that. And, I mean, if Democrats want to try to make gun control an issue, that's going to be horrible for them. Also, really good columnist over at Red State, Jennifer Van Laar. She's a Californian, lifelong. And she's warning conservatives about Gavin Newsom. She says that there's a chance he could Obama everybody. And that people need to be a little bit more concerned than they are.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is a lie. This study is a garbage lie. It says workaholics are addicts and they don't really enjoy their jobs, say researchers. I want to kick this survey in the knees. What did you think I was going to say? Shame on you. Shame. It's some, I don't know, some survey, blah, blah, blah. They looked at maybe like 130 workers. It's not enough for me. I think that like workaholics, I think that they're perfectionists, I think is what it is. Okay, you guys want to know my guilty pleasure? Everybody has one. Mine is reading gossip on Daily Mail. I will never admit to it any other time, so take this one time. And that one dude, what's his name, Scooby? The Omid Scooby dude who's trying to make himself look like a Burnett Ken. Probably with, never mind. He's names the royal racist in his book Endgame that he has. So this dude who is a weirdo is basically the mouthpiece for the suitcase girl and the angry ginger Nazi dressing up as Spare. And he wrote this book, and apparently you can't name people that you're making accusations of in Britain because they don't have like free speech laws like we do. Anyway, he accidentally named them in the Dutch translation, so they had to pull all these books off the shelves because he's a moron and so is his publisher. Let's see. Also, a couple of other things to make sure we have to hit here. In addition to that, where's the center? Here it is. Southwest Airlines passenger jumps out of the emergency room door. Yeah, this is crazy. It was a Southwest Airlines flight. It was on Sunday in New Orleans. So the dude escaped the plane through an emergency hatch, ran on the tarmac at the Louis Armstrong Airport. Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, say that fast, arrested the man. They had to keep the plane parked at the terminal. Thankfully, it had not yet initiated for the run-up for takeoff when the guy jumped out and made his escape. So he was taken to the hospital for evaluation, but nothing. There were no other details out there. And a Swedish cross-country skier, Kelly Halvorsen, raced in icy temperatures and said that he froze his male copulatory organ.
Oh!
Wow. Really? Well, there you go. See, I don't like snow. Stay with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fortunately, we've been able to push back on MAGA Republicans so
MAGA
far.
Republicans.
They haven't given up.
MAGA.
They haven't given up. MAGA. They still want to undo this progress we're making. They're proposing cuts in investments in roads, bridges, the internet, high-speed internet, the very things that provided from the, anyway, it's across the board.
Anyway, that's what he does. He says that, does that whenever he Anyway. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Welcome back to the show. Bottom of the second hour, Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well and watch the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV, also YouTube and Facebook. And later on, I'll be on with Laura Ingram later on in this evening. All right. So what is he talking about? Like they're trying to shut down the internet? The MAGA Republicans are trying to shut down the internet. The MAGA Republicans. MAGA. I'm so tired of this guy. They're currently all on a plane. We were talking about this. So who did you all see on the plane? Kane, they all went. Let me look. They're going to Rosalynn.
So Bill Hillary Clinton.
Carter's funeral in Georgia.
Right.
So the Bidens and who was all on Air Force One? The Clintons and Michelle Obama.
Right.
We're all on Air Force One with the Bidens. And then I guess the Bushes are going to go separate. And then Melania Trump is supposed to arrive. I guess they're going as well. And they're all at the service. And that's kind of customary, I think, for either the presidents or their wives to go. They all go to the service. That's kind of customary to do. And that... people can't go, oh, well, Trump's not going. Melania's going. Barack Obama's not there. And I think I see Laura Bush there, but I don't know if I see W there. But anyway, so that's, they're having her service in Georgia. But Kane was going, is that normal for them all to be on Air Force One together? I think that they are, if they're all coming out of D.C., Bill and Hillary, aren't they up in Massachusetts, though? Are they up in Chappaquiddick? So they would not miss a chance to ride on Air Force One again. So you know that they probably went down to D.C. just so that they could hop on Air Force One and go. You know that. So that is, they're having his service, or her service, and the Bidens are there for that. I don't think Joe will last long, though. I think he'll have to sit down. I don't think he's going to stand very long. I got to share this story with you guys. This is breaking news. Breaking news. Sex and the City star Cynthia Nixon is starting a hunger strike in a bid for Israel-Hamas peace. A hunger strike. It's going to change the game right there. I mean, first off, I can imagine the news being carried throughout the tunnels under the Al Shifa Hospital. Excuse me. And I can imagine, like, she's here. Audio Sambat 18, as Steve so helpfully has in. Listen, she wants a ceasefire. She's not going to eat food.
The deaths that we have seen are largely due to the bombs, but so many Palestinians now are on the verge of starvation. Only 7% of the nutrition they need is being let in on a daily basis.
I mean, her not eating food is going to change the game. I mean, she says that, you know, all the people in Gaza, you know, they're starving to death and they're getting murdered because Israel's so mean, you know, for defending itself and all of that. So, I mean, there it is. She's going to end it right there because can you imagine the news being carried through the tunnels? The terror tunnels, the network of tunnels underneath Al-Shifa Hospital and elsewhere. And someone breathlessly comes running up to one of the Hamas terrorists. You know, Hamas officer Muhammad, are they officers? I don't know. And can you imagine like, Hamas officer Muhammad, did you hear Sex and the City star, 60-year-old Cynthia Nixon, did you hear what she's doing? No, Cadet Muhammad, I didn't hear. Well, Officer Muhammad, she's... not going to eat food so she can bring about peace in have us and have Israel stop trying to kill us for being terrorists. I mean, I can only imagine in my head how that conversation goes. How does that, she's going to solve it right there. Because you know what really occupies the minds of Hamas terrorists, Kane? It's what 60-year-old Cynthia Nixon, star of Sex in the City, how much food she eats.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's so she is not eating food. And the reason she's not eating food is because she says that the people in Gaza are not able to eat food. Why are they not able to eat food, Kane?
Probably because their government is Hamas.
Hmm. They have a terrorist government. I was reading this story about and I'm sure there are going to be some horrific tales coming out, and about these terrorists, the kids that have been released by the terrorists, and they were talking about this one young boy who was released, and he was beaten, and you know, they starve the hostages. They said the food has been intermittent, and it's usually just like, you know, some bread and rice, and that's kind of it. Not regularly given. And one boy had been separated. Sometimes he was kept alone. Sometimes he was kept with others. He was hit and all this other stuff. And he was separated. They let them know, and they do this on purpose, the terrorists, when they release these kids, they let them know that if they have other members of their family alive and in still being held hostage, they tell the kids that. So this one young boy was released to his family, and he was, you know, his dad's still in captivity. And I saw a video of that of Emily Hand, the young girl who was released. That child is traumatized. And you don't know what else they did. I mean, these were people who were raping victims as they killed them, shot them in the back of the head. So I can only imagine what these young boys and girls were subjected to. And then they won't give the baby back. They said that the baby's their youngest human shield, the smallest human shield. They're not giving that baby back, they said. So the horror that they have been committing. But hey, you know what? It's Gaza. It's Gaza that's doing it. But the boy was saying, apparently what the boy had told and what the media had found out as well, is that it wasn't just like apparently Hamas members that were abusing him. Like sometimes like as he was being taken in, he was hit by other civilians, you know, the peaceful civilians that are being starved by their mean old government that they totally didn't vote for and have overwhelming support for. Get it out of your head that, I mean, I'm kind of taken like, you can sit here and you can, it's first off, it's not, the people who sit here and talk about, oh, it's genocide of Gaza. It's not genocide of Gaza. Learn what that word means. Number one. Number two, stop acting like there is no culpability from some of the citizens there. Everybody's portrayed as an innocent civilian, but have you seen how many innocent civilians took part in the abuse and the beating and helped Hamas with the kidnapping? They looked pretty joyful. I don't know if you've seen some of the body camera footage that's been released. They look pretty damn joyful. So get that out of your head. There's a reason, again, the way that it's reported by the press that takes Hamas's word as gospel truth, they act as though, oh, no, it's Hamas that is, you know, the mean government ahead of these civil. Okay, well, then explain why they got elected and why they enjoyed such overwhelming popularity that they were about to be elected in West Bank, too. Literally, they were. Hamas was going to be elected in West Bank. And did you hear what the Biden, I was reading an article earlier today from the Biden administration, and they were saying, oh, well, we believe that the, and I'm only using this phrase because this is what they call themselves, but Palestine's it's a made up term by Hadrian for a made up country and an ethnicity that doesn't exist, for a people that don't exist, for a country that's never existed, nor is it supported by 2,000 years of antiquity. But they said that the White House was saying there has to be a two-state solution, and we want the quote-unquote Palestinian Authority to take over government in Gaza as well as West Bank. That demonstrates a complete ignorance of the reality of that region, because Hamas, I cannot understate this or underscore it enough, Hamas is so popular, they de facto rule West Bank too. I mean, you have the Palestinian Authority and some of these other organizations who exist simply because their name is on a document. Fatah has lost influence, and that was the other competing party to Hamas under the authority. And the chair of Fatah is also the head of the authority. And there's a reason why, again, they suspended elections. Hamas is supremely popular. Supremely popular, even after decades of violating ceasefires. Even after suicide bombing, even after a martyrs fund, even after all of that stuff, they are still supremely popular. So declaring that there has to be some kind of two-state solution and that you want the authority to take over, the authority lost control. The people turned on them. It wasn't just Hamas that overthrew them. People supported Hamas. So spare me this whole everyone is an innocent civilian and all of this stuff. the people overwhelmingly supported them, and to the point where they're de facto running West Bank. Anyone who tells you otherwise doesn't know enough about the area to talk about it. You don't have to be a geopolitical strategist. You don't have to have a doctorate degree in Middle Eastern studies. You just have to have, you know, reading ability, a curiosity, and as a taxpaying American citizen, you like to know what touches every aspect of your interests. So don't let anyone dissuade you from seeking knowledge on that or being knowledgeable about that issue. There's no bouncer for being able to have an opinion, an informed, educated opinion on that issue. But I see a lot of people out there who are talking all kinds of nonsense about it. They have no idea. And then you have, 60-year-old lesbians like Cynthia Nixon. I'm not saying that as a pejorative, but I'm just like, how... I'm using that as a point to underscore how privileged that position is, because she'd be beaten to death for being who she is over there. Having a hunger strike. Really? I mean, she travels to Washington, D.C. so she can get video and photo of herself talking about her hunger strike. She demands ceasefire for this area, and she lives a lifestyle that she would be executed for over there. What a privileged, tone-deaf position. I mean, you're literally advocating against your own interests at that point. We have more on this because we said yesterday Elon Musk was over there meeting with Netanyahu. And Hamas still, though, keeps, I mean, they keep violating their ceasefire agreement. You know, one of the other conditions, by the way, of that was that they were supposed to not purposefully separate the families. And that apparently was a condition that they were already violating. So when they released, for instance, the young boy that I started off the segment telling you about, when they released him, they kept his dad in captivity. This was something that wasn't actually supposed to happen. And they're still violating this. They're still violating it. So, and they like they did on the 6th.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, so this is the headline. Florida mom hits son with car, says she was aiming for the children fighting him. A Miami woman was arrested after hitting her son with her car while attempting to hit two other children, according to police. According to an arrest report obtained by NBC affiliate WTVJ, Quantavia Samuel was arrested on Monday, charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. She told police that her son called to say he was being jumped. One of the attackers was armed. She got into her Toyota RAV4 and drove over to the fight and wanted to drive over the fighters. The son told the police that the other juveniles ran off after she hit him with her SUV. She followed them to her home, but the altercation ended there. He had leg and hip pain. He was taken to a Miami hospital for treatment. She told police that she didn't mean to hit her son. She said, I was trying to get them off my son. I was aiming for the other kids. And apparently the other kid was not actually armed, but DPS was called. So, man, that's... Oh, I tell you, I'm made of some parenting advice on this, but no, officer, I meant to hit the other kids. So check this out. So this Polk County pest control worker exposed himself to customers. This was in Tampa. He comes out. They were inside the home, according to deputies. Tyler Mountain, 27, was arrested. A 76-year-old woman reported him for exposing himself. So he was working with this pest control company. He was giving the women an estimate for pest control work. And when he was looking in the bathroom, came out of the bathroom with his genitals exposed and telling them, my zipper's broken and I need help. Are you kidding me? So immediately they called police. And apparently this was the second time he was accused of exposing himself to customers. So he was fired, and he should have been fired at the first time. How was he working the first? Right. And so he was arrested. Sheriff Grady Judd said that his behavior was disgusting and predatory. I'm just like, how he worked with this company called Massey Services. I'm like, how is he still working there if he already had a complaint for doing this before? I don't know. I've got some questions. You want to talk about, look, there, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And I believe our friend Larry sent this to us. A Miami woman stabbed her boyfriend in the eye with a rabies needle for looking at other women. Whew, that'll do it. Police arrested a Miami woman on aggravated battery charges over the weekend after they said she stabbed her boyfriend in the eye with a hypodermic needle during a domestic dispute. According to the arrest report, Sandra Jimenez, 44, and her boyfriend of 8 years had been going in an ongoing argument about him looking at other women that clearly escalated. When the couple arrived outside their home, the argument got physical. The police report says the man went to lay down on the couch. She jumped on top of him with two rabies needles that were for their dogs and stabbed him in the right eye. Then, realizing what she had done, she left. She was jailed on $7,500 bond after a judge found probable cause to charge her with a second-degree felony. So if you're dating this chick, don't be looking at no other women. She'll stab you in the eye. We have a whole other hour on the way. Stick with us. Jeez.
It was certainly been a day, I would say an emotionally difficult day to see the places where people were murdered. I just did a talk with the Prime Minister, and I think there's, I mean, obviously there are three things that need to happen in the Gaza situation. I mean, there's no choice but to kill those who insist on murdering civilians. There's no choice.
Mm. So that's Elon Musk, who met with Netanyahu. He was meeting with others in Israel. And he, I mean, it's pretty obvious in that you have a cause and effect here. You have one group that insists on attacking another group, and the other group is not bad simply because they want to defend themselves and save more lives. Because they're being attacked by this group. So welcome back to the program. Top of the third hour, Dana Lash here with you. Now, I thought this was also interesting too. Trey Yanks was saying that Hamas officials, of course, you know, when you, all of these media entities that have been reporting and taking as truth or fact, what do they say? The quote unquote Palestinian Health Ministry and all this other stuff there. I mean, that's Hamas. They're taking Hamas's propaganda and using that as like a legitimate citation. Trey Yanks was saying that no, their officials lied to them about it. It's like impossible to determine what is actually truthful and not, whether it's number of fatalities or anything. And I think that he does a pretty good job of trying to make the effort to represent, you know, even the, you know, opposing narrative, but the opposing side of the story. There's nothing wrong with that, but especially when you're a reporter, and when it kind of, you know, fulfills the accusations against them because they're lying to him about everything, too. Listen to this. Audio Summit 15.
Yeah, it's a great question. And when we talk with Hamas officials, they've become increasingly frustrated throughout the war as I continue to question them over the phone and over text message about what they did on October 7th. They have gone as far to blatantly lie when presented with evidence because they simply don't want to tell the truth about what took place here.
Yeah, they don't want to say anything about what happened. They don't want to talk about it. That is true. That is true. They want it to be an information warfare as well, but they also are really doing everything that they can to try to maintain this position that they themselves are the victims when they're the antagonists. That's why all the ceasefire stuff and the two-state solution stuff, that's stuff that has never worked, and they've tried to get it to work for forever. It hasn't worked. Stop making it a thing. It's not ever going to work. And when Biden says that he wants the quote-unquote Palestinian Authority to, and we talked about this last hour, run Gaza and West Bank, which they're not going to do because they de facto don't even have power in West Bank. That's why they suspended elections, because Hamas is so powerful and popular. The authority would recognize Israel and Israel's right to exist, but Hamas doesn't. And that's one of the reasons why Hamas is so popular. I don't know if that distinction has gone properly recognized in the ongoing discussion of any kind of proposal for peace in the area. But the governing authority that really doesn't have... It's kind of weird. They were set up to be this governing authority and to kind of, you know, kind of like keep the peace, so to speak, between you know, you had Fatah, which would recognize Israel's right to exist, and Hamas, which doesn't. And it's one of the reasons why Fatah started losing so much influence and popularity in the region. So again, spare us all the whole innocent civilian thing, because there's a reason why they got popular, gained popularity to the point where they de facto run West Bank. Of the two territories where you have the authority that controls West Bank, and then you have Hamas, which unilaterally runs Gaza. Hamas is basically more powerful than the authority and more influential and popular in West Bank than the authority. So it's never going to happen. It's because the people don't apparently, I mean, if you're voting, if one of the distinctions for you is supporting a group that has made it front and center their main point to not recognize their neighbor to the north's right to exist, then that says a lot, don't you think? That's a very important distinction that I think that some are missing in this. So there it is. All right, we have a couple more things that I want to make sure that we're getting to. We mentioned the Rosalynn Carter visitation. We were getting into that. The economy, which turkeys are more expensive, says the turkey, speaking for the other turkey. Yeah. Speaking of which, Audio Soundbite 5, they're still pushing this. They're pushing that prices have decreased, even though they haven't, because what else do they got? What else do they have? Listen.
Well, this past week, as Americans gathered around their own kitchen tables for Thanksgiving dinner, that was our goal, to give them a little more breathing room. And together, we made progress. You know, from turkey to air travel to tank of gas, costs went down. They went down.
They didn't go down. They haven't gone down. They haven't gone down at all. Not at all. I mean, I don't know where they're getting this from, but that only is going to work for so long. That's only going to work for so long. That's not going to be something that you're going to be able to, I think, keep repeating as you get closer towards the general election, which, by the way, brings me to I read an interesting piece. Let me pull this down in my notes. I read this interesting piece. Jennifer Van Laar is over at Red State. And I think what she says here is accurate, because she's talking about Gavin Newsom and how there's more to be, you kind of have to be a little bit better prepared for this. Because there's more to this than meets the eye. And she's saying, look, conservatives are going to discount. They're going to discount him. They're not going to take him seriously as a candidate. And then you're going to get Barack Obama. Here, pull this piece up. She tweeted it out, but it's over at Red State. Republicans rooting for Gavin Newsom are playing with fire. And it's true. And I know that DeSantis is going to be debating. When is that happening, by the way? When are they debating? Thursday?
I think so.
Are they debating Thursday? Yeah. So they are debating on Thursday. And I think that's all well and good, because we all know that Gavin Newsom, I mean, my gosh, we've talked about it, you know, on the program. I mean, Gavin Newsom very much would love to. I think he wants to be president. I think he's also positioning himself to be like a stand-in. And if something goes wrong with Biden, you know, you'll just be able to call Newsom in. But one of the things to note here, I think that some other challenges kind of feel threatened by this debate between DeSantis and Newsom. And I don't think that Newsom is a threat to it's a tricky thing, because he enjoys more popularity at this point in, say, a pre-presidential grab than Barack Obama did. Barack Obama did not have all the Democrats united behind him. Remember that you had the Clinton faction that was really, really pushing Hillary Clinton. And she was told to stand to the side so that Barack Obama could be the next guy to go. It was everyone was saying, it's Hillary's turn, which I hate when people say, wait your turn, or it's Hillary's turn, or something like that. I hate that. We're a republic. We're free people. We don't do turns. Popularity of Barack Obama, remember, he was an Illinois state senator. He had just voted against infant care legislation that would provide life-saving treatment for babies if they survived abortions. He voted against that. And he was, you know, bitter clingers, all that stuff. So he wasn't, I mean, there were some moderate Democrats that were not sold by him. Whereas Gavin Newsom, I don't know what it is with Newsom. Now, you got to keep in mind, he comes from one of the four families that come out of, that run San Francisco. He's old money. Gavin Newsom's old money. You got the Pelosi's, you got the Newsom's, you have the Hearst's and the Getty's that are out there in California. And they're all like, it's all very, you know, politically incestual. And he's got a lot of big money. A lot of big money. He's younger. He's suaver than the old folks that are leading both parties right now. And yes, he's got a lot of baggage for California, but all he's got to do is win moderates. Remember, all this stuff is determined in the margins. It would be very easy for him to move to a middle point and be a moderate. And I think that he could do damage. So I don't think that you necessarily should discount him. And this is what Red State is talking about. And I completely agree with this. And I think that this is one of the smarter pieces that's been written in a while, and that people need to actually pay attention to this. I think that DeSantis debating him is fine because DeSantis isn't cheerleading him. I do think that it's the reason that they're doing this debate, that he agreed to it, I think, is because it's an important distinction being drawn between Florida and California. You have two paths going forward for America. You can either go California or you can go Florida. I mean, that's really, it's just as simple as that. That's, you can distill everything down to just those two choices. And that's what Americans are voting on going into 2024. And you can compare and contrast the governing style of one choice against the other choice. Now, think about how many Californians have left California for either Texas or Tennessee or Florida. A ton of people have left to go to Florida. A ton of Californians have left. In fact, there's so many Californians leaving. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to retain the number of seats that they have. So many people have left. Taxes sky high, crime. I mean, to say nothing of the baggage that he has as governor with the rail. We told you about the high speed rail that they were trying to get done, and they ended up, it ended up being such a boondoggle. I think that's, that would sink normal people running for office at different governor's offices elsewhere. But this is California, right? They have an entirely Democrat state legislature. People forgive that kind of stuff. They will look for, they'll look for personality over, they'll look for fluff over a Coolidge. They completely will. And so I don't think that this is propping Newsom up to debate him. I do think that it contrasts the different ideologies for Americans. I think it should be a one-time thing, though. But I do think that Republicans need to not play him off. I also think this debate is smart for DeSantis because it kind of cuts his challengers out of the narrative. It is, I mean, it's a smart play. But one of the things you got to pay attention to with Newsom, Newsom apparently polls well with suburban women. Suburban women, I know. He polls well with them, and he doesn't do too bad with moderates. That's something, you, again, everything's in the margins, so you got to keep an eye on that. He's a, I think he's a dangerous candidate. He's going to be dangerous for Republicans, but he's the only one they got. Who else do they have? Seriously, if you took him out of the equation, give me a name. Kane, give me a name. Who else would you have?
Gosh.
Another Democrat. Another Democrat that you think could step up.
Joe Manchin? I don't know.
No, he would never. I
mean, there really isn't too moderate for the left. Not a bench.
That was because of Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And his ego. Barack Obama's ego was notorious. Barack Obama did not want to have, he took the whole online fundraising apparatus that he inherited from Howard Dean. They built up on that. And then when he left, he took it with him. They had to start over from scratch. I mean, they really, with Obama, he wanted to secure his legacy by essentially removing competition. And that ended up very poorly for him, for the Democrats, because they don't have a bench now. All they have is Newsom. That's it. Now, they were grooming Cuomo. They were grooming the older Cuomo, but then that ended up being a disaster. So you're not going to have him. But I do think that Republicans, they got to be careful with DeSantis or with Newsom. So it'll be a fascinating debate. I think it's going to be a very interesting debate. I hope that they're actually allowed to debate. No one's interrupting and talking over them. That would be lovely. But I really want to see how well DeSantis can hold his own against Newsom, because Newsom is not like these other cats out there. Like, for instance, I know some people like Vivek Ramaswamy. He's barely a Republican. He has donated to Democrats in the past. He's got CCP interests. I have a litany of legitimate reasons why I don't like him as a primary, as a candidate for president. He's too rehearsed with his words to the point where he comes off like Reese Witherspoon in that movie Election. It's annoying. Nikki Haley is, her foreign policy is too out there. And she comes off as harsh. Now, this is not a sexist thing. It's not, I'm not playing that card at all. I'm saying that men and women have to be aware of how they come off differently. Men can be a little bit more aggressive and they can be kind of jovial about it. And it seems less aggressive because they're a dude. Whereas women, you got to be very careful with the amount of aggression that we use, because then we come off as shrill or bitchy, to be honest about it. So we got to be careful. He's real suave. And this is going to be the first time that I think DeSantis has come up against somebody like that. So it's going to be very interesting to watch this debate. I know we got to get going. We got headlines coming up as well.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So have you been seeing the prices on some of the McDonald's meals? Because there is some real anger out there. But hey, you had the, what is it, the fourth cheapest Thanksgiving meal? Okay, so the meal, this was in Post Falls, Idaho. It was a limited edition. How do you get a limited edition burger? I don't even get this. That's so stupid. Okay, I'm going to get distracted. It was a smoky double quarter pounder BLT with fries and a Sprite, and it cost $16. He posted the receipt online, and everyone's like, why is it $16? $16. Yeah, because of inflation. Also, don't sit here and tell me that your burger is limited edition. That's a, what? Okay, $16 for a, what is it, the quarter pounder. New York, their police, NYPD, are leaving the force at an alarming rate. Over, this is insane. Over 2,500 officers have turned in their badges just in 2023. That's crazy. They said over, it's approximately 2,516 so far this year, the fourth highest in a decade. Stick with us. We're going to talk more about it.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stuart, we have new numbers, a new report from the U.S. House Committee on Homeland Security Majority. They say the price tag per year is $451 billion. That is both for the housing and care of the asylum seekers, as well as those known gotaways.
Wow. It's bad. And it's not getting any better. I mean, some of the stories that have come out recently, pretty brutal. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast, stream the radio program. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter as well over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff. So check this story out. You know, the compassionate left. So while you have Texas spending over $86 million dealing with illegal immigration, and New York is dealing with the influx because, you know, they said they were a sanctuary city and it's time to make these welfare grifters who live all the way up there pay their fair share instead of making border towns deal with all of it. This is a story. This is horrible. So I don't know if you're familiar with the whole Darien Gap. So this is in Panama, and it's a part of the wilderness in Panama where the people who are trying to illegally immigrate, they have to go through this area. And a ton of people go through this area. A lot of times they will pay guides to try to get them through safely. That doesn't necessarily guarantee safely, because you still have cartel members that can ambush them and kidnap entire groups or take some people out of the groups. But there was this new report that was released from Doctors Without Borders, and it's really horrifying. What they were in the Darien Gap, and they went through this, the Panama jungle there, and they said that they've had to dispatch teams, like whole teams, to treat the rising rates of rape against these illegal immigrants that are crossing. It's Darien, but crossing this gap, this wilderness. It's like a 100-mile something stretch of just jungle, and it's considered one of the most dangerous parts of the journey going towards the southern border if you're coming from further south. And so they had Doctors Without Border teams. They treated 397 survivors of sexual violence, many of them children, after they succeeded in crossing into Panama. And a lot of them are Venezuelan, etc. And it's not just Venezuelans. They've had Chinese come in through this area and others. It's like a free-for-all. But the problem of having a free-for-all is that the cartels, as we've talked about, have taken advantage of it. And so they have cartel members out there. They set up tents. And they will pick women and children out of these groups that are crossing through and drag them into the tent, and they rape them. So many. Doctors Without Borders says that just so far this year, it's been 397. Or so far recently, not this year, sorry. They said every few hours, someone is raped there. That's how bad it is. And they said that, I think of this year, there have been 460,000 illegal immigrants who have crossed through that wilderness, that dangerous stretch, just this year. Think about that for a moment. 460,000. And that's just from south going up through into Panama. That's not including all of the illegal immigrants north of that. And so they said that it's so dangerous because people can fall off cliffs. It's in Panama. I mean, it's coming up south of Panama. It's a very, very treacherous. The terrain's treacherous. It's hot. It's humid. There's jungles. There's snakes. There's robbery, kidnapping, rape, everything. They said that there was an entire group. They talked to survivors, and they said that one group paid for a guide to try to get them through safely. Didn't matter. If you come across cartel members and they have the desire to do so, like they did with this group, they kidnapped the entire group, including the guide. They said they beat this particular woman that they spoke to and raped the others. And she said that some of them are subjected to multiple assaults. And the way that they view it is that they say this is their land, and this is from Doctors Without Borders, and that whoever passes through has to pay. They have to pay a price. If you can't pay in cash, you're going to pay another way. And men are not exempt. Men have been brutally raped going through this area. A lot of times it's young, a lot of times it's boys, but men, it is not, they are not at all exempt. Price has to be paid. And one of the things that Doctors Without Borders said is that this is wildly unreported to either medical personnel when they come across it or law enforcement, because if they're breaking a law by entering illegally already, they're not going to try to say, hey, I this crime happened to me while I was committing this crime, and they don't want to get in trouble, so they don't say anything. Carmina Galvez, who is with Doctors Without Borders, says that so many people do not feel safe in asking for help. And a lot of times there's the threat of retribution to the victims. And they said that there are huge groups of armed men that just kidnap people going through this gap, kidnapping them, taking their money. If they don't have enough, then it's sexual violence. It's just horrible. Here's where it gets crazy. 95% of the victims were female. Any man that tries to defend the females are usually either subjected to extreme violence or killed. They said that there was a teenage boy who tried to defend an older woman and who was shot in the head right in front of the entire group. I mean, it's horrific. Toddlers, guys, are not exempt. I can't get into it more than that because it's sickening. This is what is being facilitated. And there is this, everyone is in all of this, all these people, they're crossing through on their way to the U.S. southern border because it's being advertised. You hear from the left that it is, that an open border is somehow compassionate. And what makes it what's doing this? They say the open border is more compassionate. It doesn't matter if you have an open border or if they just say, you know what, it's a total free-for-all. That stretch of land to get through, and the reason that so many people get through it is because they're entering other countries illegally too, not just the United States. They're entering in through Panama. They're going into Mexico. They're entering into all of these other countries illegally also. But even if all these areas had, and the reason they're trying to do it surreptitiously is because they know they're breaking the law. But honestly, even if these other countries had full on open borders, the other thing, you're still going to have the same people there that are going to say you got to pay the toll to get through. And what's driving them is the hope of making it to the U.S. southern border to get across. And then, oh my gosh, you're scot-free. Very rarely are you sent back. And so that's what is being facilitated with this type of policy. I mean, think about it. When you make it clear that you are going to have legal immigration only, you're going to have a closed border to illegal immigration, you are not going to allow, controlled substances and all that stuff or whatever, you know, opioids and all that to come across the border, fentanyl. When you lock your border down and you allow only orderly legal passage, that removes the incentive. I mean, it's crazy. You got to explain it like this to the left, but they have to hear it like that. It removes the incentive for these people to go through these very dangerous areas and cross illegally and to be exploited by the cartels. And the administration thinks that somehow the way that it is happening, the way that they're doing, it's more compassionate to do it this way than to say, you know what, yes, you're in an area where the economy is sucks, but about 90% of you are going to be subjected to some sort of violence. And that's how High Doctors Without Borders says, coming up through that, because you have to go through that area. They say that's the percentage of which someone's going to be the victim of something, whether it's sexual assault, whether it's violence, it's that high. Do you see what I'm saying? They think that it's more compassionate to allow them to be subjected to that than not by the facilitation of these policies. That's not compassionate. That's evil. To play the lottery of maybe getting through these dangerous areas, and then hell, when you get through Panama, then you got to get through Mexico and the cartels there. I mean, then you got to get through Sinaloa territory. It's one cartel after the other. How is that compassionate to expose people to that? And the motivating factor is they all think, well, if we just get across the border, it's going to be, well, because that's what it's been. You get bused to New York. You get put in hotels. In some cases, you get a stipend. What was the stipend? Like $2,500, something like that? Yeah. You get a prepaid cell phone. You get all this stuff. And then you get a piece of paper saying you better come for your immigration date. That never happens. So yeah, there's a great motivation for people to gamble and endure this to come to the southern border. And they consider that to be compassionate. That's considered to be compassionate. One of the things that I saw, so a couple of hours ago, apparently Hamas bombed some Israeli troops in northern Gaza Strip. So that's a violation of the ceasefire, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, big shocker. Who had Hamas violating the ceasefire again on their bingo card?
I did, actually.
Yeah. And yeah, they were three explosive devices that they detonated at two separate locations. And they were also, firing at them too, gunfire. So and they said that the injuries are not critical, but they did suffer some injuries. So that's a violation of the ceasefire.
Question. And yes. All the ceasefires that involve Hamas, mm-hmm. How many has Hamas violated?
All of them.
Oh, okay.
That would be all of them.
Just checking.
All the ceasefires. They violated all the ceasefires. Oh. So, yeah, that was just a couple of hours ago. And the spokesperson, basically, they said that, one of the media said it appeared that the IDF was in the agreed upon ceasefire line. So it wasn't that they were trying to be provocative. And then apparently Hamas, you got to reach out to the spokesperson for Hamas. They said that their fighters were responding to a violation. Well, there wasn't a violation because apparently they were within the boundaries. So you just admitted that you violated a ceasefire, you stupid moron. There you go. No more ceasefire should be offered. I think that needs to be scorched earth. Pillar of salt kind of stuff. But, you know, we don't have leaders with the backbone to do it. They don't want to spend any political capital. They want to drag this out and kill more people by dragging it out. Because they don't want to go hard and heavy now and then get out, resulting in fewer deaths. But it's going to be uncomfortable and it's going to be hardcore. They don't want to do that because they don't have the spine for it. These people. Nobody reads Sun Tzu and nobody's got courage anymore.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. I gave you this headline earlier about the police in New York leaving at an alarming rate. It literally is 2,516 cops have left. They all turn in their badges so far this year. So it's like there could be more still. They said it's 43% more than the 1,700 plus who left in 2018. The NYPD pension data shows that was before the pandemic and crime spikes. And then here's the other thing. Now take note of this. The number of cops that are quitting before they reach the 20 years required in order to get your full pension skyrocketed. They left before they could even, they didn't care. 509. In 2020 to over 1,000 so far this year. That's a 104% increase. You have cops turning in their badges and leaving the force before they even hit 20 years and get their full pension, before they even qualify for that. They're done with it. They are done with it. And so they said that the cops who still are there, they said they are working, quote, according to the Police Benevolent Association, quote, inhumane amounts of forced overtime. Just in a two-day period, February 20 and 21st, 21 cops walked off the job. They turned in their badges. Do you blame them, though? I mean, when you see the lawlessness, do you blame them? I mean, good grief, look at the border. Customs and Border Patrol, they're suspending and reducing vehicle processing at ports of entry in Texas and Arizona. They have the surge of illegal immigration. They don't have enough personnel, so they're having to try to move, shuffle personnel around, you know, and kind of play like musical chairs in a way, to try to deal with the surge and try to deal with everything. So they're talking about suspending, you know, different operations and trying, because this is going to actually really hurt commerce. This is really going to hurt commerce at a time when you don't want that to happen, because it's the season where everybody's shopping online and getting stuff online and ordering things in, et cetera, et cetera. But they're trying to do everything that they can to just handle the surge with the personnel that they have. And so they're forced to do this. Nobody wants to go in law enforcement anymore because they're denigrated. This is by design. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. It is our president of the United States. This is Biden. And the claim is, by the way, do you feel as though this Thanksgiving was the fourth cheapest ever?
No.
Right.
No.
It was actually the most expensive if you were to look at all the numbers. But this is what he decided to lie about yesterday. Listen.
In fact, as a share of earnings this Thanksgiving, dinner was the fourth cheapest ever on record.
Oh my gosh.
I want you all know that.
It wasn't.
I look at all the press.
They're clapping because they think it's true.
Or they're clapping because they're like, he said a sentence and he didn't stutter. Or he said a sentence and he didn't like lose memory in the middle of it. And he does not have a stutter. Like I had people in my family that dealt with that issue, and it's an insult to people who deal with that issue to act like his like cheese brain and his being too old to do this job and process a thought and be coherent is the same thing. So spare me. All right, folks, that does it for us today. I'll be on Fox this evening, the Laura Ingraham Show, talking about some of the gun stuff. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter chapter and verse over at Substack. Have a great night. I'll be back with you tomorrow.